sometime this midweek, you will receive an envelope with a letter and a stewardship pledge card. You have been hearing over the past several weeks about our stewardship vision, worship, music and arts, children and youth, and today so eloquently outreach and social witness. You've also received financial information that lets you know how important each pledge is and how important each dollar is. I hope this week that you will carefully consider your response next Sunday, and with a spirit of generosity and gratitude, offer your pledge card. We're still looking into new ways of doing things around here, and I appreciate the encouragement to increase pledges by 1%. However, if you're able to do more than that, that would certainly be okay as well. And if you've never been in the game, perhaps this is the year to do it. As you've heard, we'll celebrate all of this after worship next Sunday with a modified stewardship breakfast because the kitchen is not quite yet fully operational. So bring your appetites, bring your pledge cards, and more so bring your sense of gratitude for this congregation's ministry and all that it has been and all that it will be. Your stewardship committee is wisely and creatively focusing on the theme of vision. And you know that whenever anyone asks you for money, an alma mater, or a political candidate, or cause, a museum, or a hospital, or an orchestra, and if there's not a good case to be made, then you are less likely to give, and you are certainly less likely to give enthusiastically. Fundraisers call them peace statements, as in you must have a compelling case statement. People want to get to something successful, however success is defined. And more than that, they want to get to something that aligns. Alignment is also a good fundraising thought. It aligns with their vision and their values and their beliefs. In church, we try to disassociate the notion of stewardship with fundraising. But stewardship is about much more than money, about how we are called to care for all of the gifts that God gives us, including financial resources, and that is absolutely correct. Stewardship, pledging, giving as an act of faith, is not fundraising. But some of the principles still apply. The notion of vision, a compelling case statement, alignment with our values. And here's some good news. We have a vision. It has been given to us as a gift. We have a compelling case statement that gets rehearsed day by day, season by season, lifetime by lifetime. And when we are discerning, and bold and open to the Spirit, there is profound alignment. And it's a beautiful thing. And sometimes in conversations like these, where there's something to the effect that the church is not a business. We're not. But we do business like things. We have a budget, we have personnel, we have capital resources. There are vast differences, of course. I always hope and pray that the ways we make decisions, let alone the decisions we make, reflect the values of our vision. But still, I believe that we have much to learn from business, even as I believe that business has much to learn from the church as well. I've been in countless church and church-adjacent meetings where I've wondered to myself, and every so often wondered aloud, what on earth are we doing and why we're doing? Our good businesses are good at asking that question, the why question. It allows for focus. And the how question allows for intentionality. mission or a church, in fact, wants to be in the future. The mission tells us how we will get there. The vision never wavers. It is a constant north star and plumb line. Mission can adapt to the moment, to the circumstance, to the context. Vision inspires, vision informs. Vision is about hopes and dreams. Mission is about purpose. Vision is short and sweet. Mission drills the moment. Another ideas of corporate types in the room this morning. I hope you're not ready to scream at this point, but I'm getting something about all this right. Both vision and mission consider the future. Vision talks about where you want to be, and mission talks about how you will get there. Here's an example. Tesla is a mission to accelerate the world's transition to sustainable energy. The vision is to create the most compelling car company in the 21st century by driving the world's transition to electric vehicles. Patagonia's mission is to build the best product, cause no unnecessary harm, use business to inspire and implement solutions to the environmental crisis. Its vision speaks of a love of wild and beautiful places, demands participation in the fight to save them, and to help reverse the steep decline in the overall environmental health of our planet. So listen to this. Guess what company's mission is to offer a wide range of well-designed, functional home furnishing products at prices so low that as many people as possible will be able to afford them. Anybody want to guess? IKEA, yes. Well, I often think that IKEA's mission is to instill a constant low level of frustration in people like me as we labor to assemble those oddly named products. And IKEA's vision, to create a better everyday life for many people. To make the point, a clear and compelling vision, aspirational vision that leads to a clear and compelling mission plan to help get us there. And here again is good news. It's very good news. We have the vision. We have the mission. And rather than relying on ourselves to discern, to develop from some version of a strategic planning process, we've received all of this as a gift, a gracious gift, and our task is to receive that gift, to discern it, to nurture it, cultivate it, and to live into it. But not to invent the gift, rather to rediscover it time and time again. Now these gifts, these visions, this mission comes to us in various ways in the Bible. The best of our theology helps us to unpack what that vision is. The tradition of this congregation, founded in 1853, has been to do the same. It is reestablished every time we gather for every new generation to rediscover and recommit to it, which is ultimately what stewardship is all about, committing to this vision through our mission. Time and energy and skill, absolutely. And also with our money. This morning, the vision and its attendant mission. children who meet in our preschool or senior adults at our center on the hill, or any of us, all of us, any person who hungers for food, who hungers for companionship, who hungers for health care, who hungers for justice. No weeping, no cries of distress, no gun violence, no racism, no poverty. We will all live in our own houses. We shall enjoy the fruits of our own labor. Our work will matter. Joy that leads to justice, and justice that leads to joy. All of it culminating in a vision of newness, a peaceable kingdom, where even lions and lambs will get along. That vision becomes our marching order. Those mission aspects and components become our call to action as we work with God to usher in a new heaven and a new earth. Korean Kravalho reminds us that this is not a far off dream, but a real vision. That ideal world is being created new every day, she writes. God's creative work turns the profane world of the city into holy space, God's territory. And every day, God recreates this cosmos, she says, and